Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into songs, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
Wow, that's some pretty powerful images of abundant life. And they're totally countercultural to everything that we see around us, this consumer culture, right? It's completely the opposite. And yet our sacred scriptures, our sacred writings of our ancestors tell us over and over and over and over and over again that abundant life, fullness of life, life in all its fullness is what the Creator's intention is for us, but not only just for us, but for all. Living water for the thirsty. Imagine if you were sitting on one of those reservations that has a boil water advisory right now. Living water to the thirsty. Or food for the hungry that's affordable, even free, for heaven's sakes. There's lots of folks that's good news for. Thinking particularly the poverty, the poor person's march that we had through here, we hosted this week, and the feast that we shared together. And then comes that wonderful invitation to turn away from spending energy and money on what isn't life-giving. That's such a powerful, powerful statement. What would it be like if we didn't spend our energy and our time on what isn't life-giving? And what would that look like? The vision goes on. All creation is singing for joy and peace. You read it yourselves. And the mountains and the hills are bursting in song. Almost sounds like the sound of music. And then the trees are clapping their hands. Now, don't you think creation's got a good sense of humor, right? That's pretty good. It's a beautiful vision. It's heartwarming. It's spirit-lifting. And we get a glimpse of it. And then we move into cost-benefit analysis, and pretty soon we're way down back in the news world. I want to thank the choir for lifting up and giving us a glimpse of that vision already in what you've sung. Walk in the light, the beautiful light. Love is the light of the world. And as we were standing and singing that from the bottom of our hearts, we believed it, if only for a moment. We knew that love was the light of the world. And then the choir sang two songs about who we really are, beyond just the surface, who we think other people see us. OCM, we are all family. We are all the same. And then the lovely spiritual, if anybody asks you who I am, tell them I'm a child of God. Tell them I live in the love of God. Now, those are easy words to say or to sing. Well, maybe they weren't that easy, choir. I don't know. But you did a great job of doing it, so it made it sound easy. Those are easy words to sing, but imagine if we lived our lives out of that experience of knowing that we were a child of God, and that we lived in the love of God, that we were indeed sacred, that we were indeed sacred. Music has the power to change lives. It has the power to change our lives. A common statement in churches to sing is to pray twice. when we sing, we ground ourselves in our own unique voice. And isn't it wonderful to be singing with a large group like this? And you can really let it beller right from the bottom of your whole being, and it creates community. We sing when we're sad. We pour out our heart and our depth of pain, and somehow we don't feel so alone anymore. We sing when we're joyful, exulting in the goodness and the grace of life, and it's easy to feel connected to all creation that rejoices with us. Those mountains that burst into song, those trees of the field that are clapping their hands, we know we're part of something much bigger. We sing when we face deep struggle, when we're angry about the way the world is unfolding, when we need to make one another strong to stand against it. Just think of those spirituals that have carried people through the hell of slavery to freedom, or the protest songs that strengthened people in their struggles for civil rights and labor unions and anti-war demonstrations. Songs have given courage to act when people were afraid as they stood for justice. Those of us on the Pride March, and I recognize a lot of you, those of us in the Pride March a couple of weeks ago heard Gordon and the band strike up, "Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know." And everybody started to sing, "Yes, Jesus loves me." And who'd have guessed it? It became a protest song. "Jesus loves me," a protest song against all the people who would think differently. And there have been many, even if that has changed. But the real beauty is it wasn't just the walkers, but it was the people on the sides of the street. And then when they broke into "This Little Light of Mine," the song went even further. These songs we learned in Sunday school, some of us, and thought were just kids' stuff, and, you know, we're past that, just turned out to have such power. Who knew that they would be songs to strengthen us in times of resistance with a message of love and light that can change hearts and minds? In one of his best-known songs, Bruce Cockburn sings about lovers in a dangerous time. And there's no doubt that we're living in dangerous times. We can't afford to ignore the world that's under siege, the forces of hatred and death, the suffering that they threaten. But it's so important we don't lose the vision that we're singing about tonight and that we heard in that scripture, the vision that there is a different way, that the sacred way is a different way, and that we're all being invited to participate in it. So as you listen to the songs for the rest of the evening, I hope that they will strengthen the spirit of resistant love in you, so that you'll be able to live that resistant love in dangerous times. The next song the choir is going to sing is from the ancient story, the biblical story of a time of exile. The people had been force marched into modern-day Iraq, and which was Babylon in that day, and they were there as refugees, displaced people, and they pour out the pain of that experience and their longing for home. And these words become so poignant as we think about the tens of thousands of people who are becoming refugees in these times, crossing in dangerous boats, often inhospitable waters, and walking across unwelcoming borders that some people even want to make more impenetrable with walls. Exile is a very real thing for many people in our world. So let's hear "By the Waters of Babylon."
By the waters, of Babylon, we lay down and wept for thee, Zion. We remember thee, remember thee, remember thee, Zion.
On the willows of Babylon, we hung up our harps brought from Zion. We remember thee, Zion.
Those who carried us to Babylon, asked us for a song of thee, Zion.
On the alien soil of Babylon.
How dare we to praise thy God Zion?
We remember.